Well, it's the Brian Vinny Show, everybody.
Yeah.
Hate to interrupt bashful brother Oswald there. As he plays about the end of the world.
He's certainly going to be bashful now.
Well, guys, Vinny's back in studio after his fantastic performance over the phone last week, including being sucked into hell by the devil.
I was going to say, my performance was fine. The phone let us down.
Well, the phone is part of your performance, Vincent.
I think a wise man can separate the artist from his tools. No? All right.
No. Bashful Brothers just on a roll here. He got SmackDown, Super SmackDown to talk about this week. I don't even know if we're going to bother talking about the other SmackDown show. Was there anything of note on that show of any value whatsoever?
Let's see. Kali and Ezekiel Jackson was not nearly as horrible as you would think.
It's impossible.
Swear to God. Actually, there is one thing. Because it lasted for exactly one show. But on the Friday night SmackDown show, there was a Daniel Bryan appearance. And this was a full-out a PR blitz trying to do damage control on the Michael Cole burial for the past year or more of Daniel Bryan. He came out. They aired a hype video of him flying through the air and kicking everyone and tapping guys out. We heard Michael Cole's voice declaring, Daniel Bryan's the real deal. This made him look like a star. And then Daniel Bryan did not once say anything disparaging about Daniel the entire match. Just talked about how, he talked about his streak of matches. He faced the WWE champion Alberto Del Rio. And though he lost, he had put up a hell of a fight and been very impressive. They plugged the YouTube videos. It was all a big deal. And that lasted one episode.
Yep. Back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown didn't record for me this week. In fact, the funny thing is I have it set to record on Sci-Fi. And as a backup, I have it set to record on whatever the Lucha channel
yes.
is. And it just decided it wasn't going to record either of them. And I didn't care. I don't know what that says about me. I think what it says is, my love affair with WWE over the summer has come to a bitter close. The bloom is off the rose for me. The show has jumped the shark. Maybe I'd have cared if, like, Raw and Super SmackDown had been great shows, but I'm over it. I never thought I'd... Well, actually, I can imagine myself saying this, but I didn't... For some reason, I've said it many times. We don't need to see Orton and Christian again. We don't need to see Orton and Christian again. And people have said, Brian, the matches are always good. You're always happy when the match is over. And as soon as this feud's over, you're going to have to watch Randy Orton and Mark Henry. And I was like, yeah, well, you're right. Well, tonight was a night that I've just seen this fucking match one too many times.
Yep.
I'm over it. It was... Last few minutes were really good, but I've seen Randy Orton and Christian too many times now. And when Mark Henry came out at the end of the show and he beat the shit out of Randy Orton, sat there and I thought, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine seeing Randy Orton versus Mark Henry.
I would much rather see Randy Orton versus Mark Henry at this point.
I had to watch a CM Punk Triple H promo that wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good.
I thought it was really good.
In fact, there were parts of it that were quite great, but I should never have to write 866 words about one interview segment.
Because yeah, it was long.
It's not just it was long. I mean, you used to have the boring 20-minute promo that in 30 words I could recap. Not this one. These guys had a lot to say about a lot of different things. You got to write 866 words about a promo. That's a promo that the fans, it's really not going to sink in with them. They're not going to remember, I can't even say half of it. They're not going to remember a quarter of it. Hopefully they remember the part where Hunter said he was going to kick CM Punk's skinny ass, his skinny fat ass, whatever it was he said, because that's like your money line right there. But in general, 866 words is too much information for your average fan to take in. You know, everybody listening to this right now, I'm sure there are people that are very upset with my review of that segment, but honest to God, if I called you right now, listener, and I asked you to recap that entire segment for me, there is absolutely no way you could do it. It's impossible. You could remember bits and pieces here And maybe as you talked about it, you remember other things here and there, but there's no way you'd remember the entire thing. And that's just too much information. I've said this a million times. That first CM Punk promo that was so great that everybody remembered. 6 minutes. That was a 6-minute promo. And it was great. So they thought, okay, well, let's have him talk again next week, and now let's give him more to say. Now he's talking for 10 minutes. Now he's talking for 12 minutes. Now he's talking to someone else for 15 minutes. Now we've got these 15-minute promos every week where they're just bringing up everything. And they go on and on and on. It's just too much stuff. And then the whole thing with Nash, and you tease the match, you pull the match away. Not that I really want to see Punk versus Nash, but I kind of had this intrigue about it.
I would be very actually curious about that.
And you know, I'm very... very disgruntled with WWE over the past couple of days. And then I don't even want to talk about the incident much, just because I don't even want to talk about it. But there was an incident Tuesday night, right around the time that SmackDown went off the air. Sure, most of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, it doesn't matter. You don't need to know about it. But the point is, it just the whole thing happened, and I was just like, what a fucking shitty business this is. What a shitty business. In fact, I said that to Lance, because we were discussing the whole situation on IM. And I was just like, God damn, this fucking business sucks. And he said, it's not the business, it's the people. And I was like, you know, you're right.
That is true.
So I don't hate wrestling or anything like that, but just the last couple of days has just been... I mean, can we have some good logical storytelling? Can we have some good... Can I have something new, some new wrestling matches? I mean, they built up Super SmackDown. They built this up at the beginning of the show. They were plugging the Orton-Christian Cage match, and Michael Cole, in the tone of voice in which to explain to us that this was a big fucking deal, said, for the sixth time! That's what he said. Mm-hmm. For the sixth time, we are going to see Randy Orton versus Christian.
And he said it in a way as if...
we should be excited. Oh, wow, a sixth time!
Yeah, like each progressive match was better news, whereas in fact it's the opposite. With each progressive match, the feud gets more stale and more repetitive.
I am ready for Henry versus Orton. Or Horton. If a man named Horton debuted, I'd be ready for that as well. I'm just ready for some new stuff. I'm ready for some new stuff. I'm ready for some storylines that I can just follow and they don't change every week. You know, I mean, the whole CM Punk thing, I mean, they captured lightning in a bottle. And everybody got so excited. I still remember back to Money in the Bank night where everybody was so excited. What are they going to do? And then they actually did everything right. And everybody was like so excited about everything they did right. I mean, is anybody listening to this right now? I mean, honest to God, I know that some of you are big WWE fans and you're probably angry with me right now for being down on the product today. But I mean, really, is anyone listening to this right now really as excited as you were as the night of Money in the Bank?
Hell no.
It's impossible. I mean, you're not.
And actually, I would say that the biggest drop was actually 1 week later when CM Punk just came back.
He just came back.
He's just another guy.
I'm done with, okay, here's what they're going to do. The whole Sin Cara thing, the fuck is happening? Just make up your goddamn fucking mind. Either fire the other guy or bring the other guy back. And now we've got, like, you know, it's Unico in the costume, and now maybe he's turning heel. So maybe they're going to do, like, the heel Sin Cara and the baby face. I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I'm just sick of shit just changing all the time. It's driving me nuts. I don't even know why I even bother. I should just recap the show and not even try to discuss things. You know, my job here on the show is to discuss things and analyze things and look at where things are going and get excited about things. It's impossible to get excited about anything when it's just all going to change next week.
Well, that is true.
Let's start with Raw here.
Raw, you say?
Raw.
Bring up my notes for that show then.
Well, Raw came before Super SmackDown.
Well, it did, but we were talking about Super SmackDown, so I brought up my notes for that. So... Hunter came out.
Said it was shocking. Hunter came out to open the fucking show.
We do need change, actually. Like CM Punk said.
There's been one SmackDown where someone other than Hunter came out at the beginning of the show.
Yep. He said it was his job to make the company thrive, so the SmackDown guys are going to be on Raw again. This got a huge reaction. It's kind of surprising when you consider this is done, because theoretically the SmackDown guys are not seen as stars. So he said Nash had been lying about... text and car crashes.
I hate to interrupt you, but I just got to get one more thing out.
That's fine.
Listen, Dave was, we were, I was arguing with Dave last night about why you just kill the brand extension, and he's like, oh, no, you can't do that because they change their minds all the time. So you can't send people on the road here and send people on the road here because it's going to change and you got to change flights and this and that, which I guess it's all true and everything like that, especially for international tours. But Jesus Christ, just send whoever's on the road that's not on the show. You know, put some people on the show and then send the other people on the road. I mean, look, it's the reason I'm bringing this up is because Super SmackDown, we had a whole lineup for the show. It's Alberto Del Rio and Sin Cara. It's Randy Orton versus Christian in a cage. It's CM Punk versus The Great Khali, which God knows we didn't need to see that match. But still, you know, the show finally comes along, and of all of the matches that they had advertised, we got one, the cage match. Alberto Del Rio isn't even there because he got to send him to Mexico to get his visa renewed, and he doesn't get back in time. So that match is just out the window. And then Sin Cara just faces somebody else. And then for no reason I can declare, except that someone finally figured out the idea was stupid. There's no Punk versus Khali match. They just randomly put Sheamus in there. And obviously the reason for that is because why would you book a Great Khali versus CM Punk match? Well, the idea is you want to show that CM Punk can find a way to beat a tall, immobile man, which is Kevin Nash. But then the Kevin Nash match gets switched, and so they just don't even do the match. They just don't even do it. It's just like, just why do you even advertise anything? Why not just say, next week on Raw, there's going to be some guys wrestling. Or next week on Raw, some shit's going to happen. Why do you even bother with any of this stuff? Why even have lineups for the upcoming house shows? Why don't you just go, WWE's coming to your town. You want to see the stars or not? That's how they should advertise it. You know, have a big commercial. WWE's coming to your town. We're going to bring 10 guys. Who's it going to be? Who gives a fuck? But 10 guys are coming to your town. Man's male web may be how they promote these things. Because, God, I'm pissed off at all this shit. I feel like I've been reviewing Impact. You know how many times in the last 2 days I've written my notes? This is just like Impact. I don't want to write that.
No.
I watch Impact every Thursday. And I, of course, Impact always fucking records. You know, my SmackDown doesn't record, but Impact records every fucking week without fail. So I have to watch this show, and I just want to watch it, get pissed off, and move on with my life. I don't want to watch Impact 3 days a week. I just don't. So go on.
So Hunter called out Nash, Punk came out instead. He said Hunter and Nash were working together. At this point, the NWO music played. It's 2011.
Yeah.
It was 15 years after that music first came out, and here's the guy. So they all went back and forth for a while. The crowd still goes, what, to Kevin Nash? It still throws him off his game, which kind of should be a sign, by the way. The crowd does not see Kevin Nash as anything to be taken seriously. Duh. So
what's funny about that? Remember you talked about that video on WWE.com?
Yeah.
How about you put that video on the fucking show, you jackasses?
I thought about that, too.
Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to your fucking WWE website.
Most people don't.
I never go to that website.
Yes, you don't. It's your job to follow the stuff.
I don't care how many hits you think you get a month, okay? Your audience is not going to that fucking site every day. So if you're concerned enough that people don't know Kevin Nash, you're going to make a video for the website, put that fucking video on television. It's a minute long.
Yeah. So Nash admitted that he lied about the accident, that he did. He needed an excuse to get Hunter out of the building so he could take care of Punk. And at this point, they closed in, and I realized that Kevin Nash has a pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah, he shaved the top of
it. He's shaving the top half of his upper lip. That's just funny. He said that Johnny Ace...
You know, Whitney said when she walked into the room as he's doing his promo. She walked through the room, she took one look at him, and she said, has he had work done? And kept walking. I think she said he looked like an alien. So yeah, don't get work done, people. It just doesn't work. It
doesn't always work.
No, just age gracefully. That was his whole idea. I'm going to let my hair get gray and I'm going to age gracefully. Really? Well, you look weird now. So whatever you're doing, don't stop doing that.
Yeah. So he announced that Johnny Ace had fired him to a guarantee, or excuse me, signed him to a guaranteed contract. He dared Hunter to fire him, said he'd be happy to collect his guaranteed money. At this point, CM Punk, being the new main event babyface, got to do the John Cena comedy about vomit.
It just sucked.
It's just what they do.
God, it sucked.
If you're going to be a WWE main event babyface, you must do stupid comedy.
It wasn't even the fact that it was shitty, but just it was shitty for so long.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like Impact.
So he buried Nash as a ratings killer with bad knees, questioned Hunter's manhood, and eventually Hunter booked the match and told them both to suck it. And there you go.
I have nothing to add.
At this point, Randy Orton came out. They showed a video of Dolph killing men and a leprechaun. Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton. Very early in the match, actually, Dolph hit a zigzag on the floor. His finisher on the floor, which is a stupid thing to do for this move in particular. And in fact, he sold it as badly as Orton did. And no one cared. Not a single person in this building thought Dolph Ziggler had a chance in hell of getting a win over Randy Orton. So they did what they could.
Why would you do a match like that on the a move like that on the floor?
Because you're dumb.
I have no better explanation than that.
And by you're dumb, by the way, I mean in and out of character. As a wrestler trying to hurt your opponent to do this move on the floor would be stupid. And as a young sports entertainer trying to make a name for yourself, also stupid. So they did everything they could to build the finish, and Dolph got to like counter the punt with a super kick, and he escaped the RKO a few times, but no one on earth believed he was not going to lose, and in fact, he did not, and Orton finally hit the finish was great, and Randy hit a flapjack, and Dolph hit the mat and bounced up into the RKO. It looked great, and Randy won. This was a very fun match.
This match was awesome. This was... The bloom had not fully been off the rose yet with this match here. This was a great fucking match. Two thumbs up for this match.
Cena came down to the ring. He did some rock dialogue talking about anuses and said, if you want some, come get some. He got Mark Henry instead. Mark Henry vowed to put John Cena in the Hall of Pain, which is a great catchphrase.
I love Mark Henry. Mark,
he gets better every show. Christian came out. He said he would beat Orton, then wrestle Henry later. But right now, he had to deal with Cena. Said he hated Cena because he whined every week. Cena made fun of Christian's fake tan and Henry's bad breath. They were going to get him when Sheamus showed up to make it an even fight. So Christian immediately bailed. Henry reluctantly, slowly bailed. And then who should book the match but Johnny Ace? He was backstage. I love how the GMs always have different artwork on display. Like, Teddy Long always has the picture of Martin Luther King on the wall. Triple H, now that he is in charge, has put his mask from WrestleMania on display.
Mm-hmm.
That made me laugh.
Takes it from town to town.
Yeah. Just puts on the mannequin head. Charles Robinson was there, who is, trivia note, I believe the last man standing from the WCW invasion. He's the only one left who did not leave. So Hunter showed up, and he said that he booked the match already, and he reminded Ace that he worked for him and not the other way around. Plugged the Red Cross for donations for Hurricane Irene. That was nice. CM Punk versus The Miz. An intriguing match, considering CM Punk told us not that long ago that Miz does not deserve to main event WrestleMania. Miz cut a promo, and actually didn't have much to say. He just repeated his catchphrase, basically.
At which point, Punk feigned going to sleep.
Yeah. So, there was not much heat for this. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Randy Orton is a much bigger star than CM Punk. And the announcers were bickering with each other, not paying much attention. And then...
The best part of this match is Punk does some stuff early, and Miz cuts him off, and he proceeds to beat on him for like 4 straight minutes. And Miz... His offense is... I'm trying to think of who to compare him to. He's no Kurt Angle.
Sure.
So he's just kind of beating on the guy. But the point is, he's beating on him for like 4 minutes. I think it was just like, it was impossible to get into this match watching Miz's offense on this guy. And Punk, I don't know. Punk's like a great anti-authority figure, but I don't know if people are getting into him as a babyface in peril. Anyway, the point is, it's just the dynamic was all wrong. It was not working. And the best part, however, is Miz beats on him for like 4 straight minutes. And he's beating on him, he's beating on him, he's beating on him. And as they're about to go to commercial, Cole says, "Miz dominating CM Punk." And Lawler, sounding as exasperated as humanly possible, says, "Dominating?" Like, Cole is just completely out of his mind. And at this point, I was like, what is Lawler doing during these shows? Because clearly he's not watching the match. Because Miz was, in fact, dominating this guy for 4 straight fucking minutes. And Michael Cole mentions it, and Lawler just can't even believe his ears that Michael Cole would say such a thing. So that, to me, was the best part of the match, because there surely was nothing else good about this.
I will get to Jerry Lawler later. So, the finish was Punk had Miz on his shoulders for the go-to-sleep when Truth attacked for the DQ. So, Truth attacks for the DQ, I guess because Miz can't do a job here. So then what happens? CM Punk kicks both their asses. Why not just let him pin Miz then? He beat him up anyway. He beat him up and his friend.
I don't know. If I asked, why did you have this shitty finish? Someone would say, well, we didn't want to beat Miz. To which I would answer, well, why did you book the fucking match then? Why do you book a match where you don't want one guy to lose? Yeah. Why bother?
I know. So, Kevin Nash came out and lumbered to the ring. And when I say lumbered to the ring, Michael Cole informed us, Kevin Nash lumbering to the ring. Those were his exact words.
Yes.
Lumbering to the ring. The TNA director, by the way, was in charge of the show as he missed both the go-to-sleep that Punk had to go to sleep in either Miz or Truth. And the director missed that to show Nash walking out. And then he missed Punk getting attacked from behind to show Kevin Nash climbing into the ring. So this is a bad segment. Fake Sin Cara versus Jack Swagger. Cole was reading the list of Mystico's accomplishments when Mystico was not in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That made me laugh.
It was amazing.
Dolph came out to cause some trouble. Distracted Swagger. Sin Cara won with his Topic and Hilo Quebrada combo. It was what it was. We had Evan and Kofi versus David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. This is where I got angry. Kofi's pyro didn't go off, which cracked him up. That made me laugh. The champions officially are known as Air Boom. That's awful. That is atrocious. A terrible name. So Lawler was going off on the challengers about how boring they are and how useless they are and how they needed to be more like, well, anyone. And you know what?
How about Evan Boom?
That's better. I would say that's better than Air Boom.
Boom Born.
That's awesome. We could, in 5 minutes, we would think of 20 names better than Air Boom. So, we've buried Michael Cole for the past year or so for burying Daniel Bryan at every turn. And while there's a difference between burying Daniel Bryan and burying David Otunga, the fact of the matter is, it's just as annoying when Jerry Lawler does it. It's just stupid. I don't get this. It sucks. So, the champions won. At this point, David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy, fresh off a clean loss, decided to pick a fight with the announcer. That'll redeem them. That'll get them over. I don't get it. So nothing happened. They intimidated Lawler for a while and they left. Everything about this sucked.
What a feud that's going to be. Jerry Lawler against David Otunga.
No buys. No fucking buys.
At least it's a new match. Maybe Jerry Lawler could get an awesome match out of David Otunga.
No. Not anymore. Jerry Lawler got awesome matches out of The Miz. Like once. Maybe twice.
A few times.
It was one time. Yeah, I forget. It was earlier this year. It was not that long ago. So, Kelly wrestled Abella. Beth and Natalya were shown backstage talking about how awful it was that people were cheering for Kelly, which is funny because the people were not cheering for Kelly. They had a bad match. Everyone fell over each other for a while. We did not discuss this on SmackDown, but I noted in my SmackDown review, at this point, if I had one night alone with Kelly, all I would want to do is teach her how to run the ropes. That's all I care about now. So the Bellas did a switch. One of them pinned Kelly with an X Factor. I guess they're getting a title shot. I don't know why or what it has to do with Beth and Natalya. I don't care.
I've never understood why. Maybe it's the girls' fault. I don't know. But if you're Eve, for example, and you've got a spot that involves changing direction and running.
Uh-huh. Why are you wearing high heels?
Why are you wearing these shoes that don't allow this to happen without you falling down or messing it up?
I don't know.
I see girls trying spots all the time in their high heels.
Yes.
I don't know.
And you would think they would pack.
And this running the ropes thing is really, I mean, it's gone beyond pet peeve to, I don't want to watch wrestling anymore. It drives me so nuts. Yeah. Like the wrestling I grew up with as a kid. You know, a lot of people say that it died when WCW died or this and that. No, it died for me when people couldn't run the fucking ropes.
When people
anymore.
Can't wrestle anymore.
I mean, it's just running the ropes. You know?
I believe that's called a fundamental.
Why is professional wrestling? I mean, how in the year 2011 can this fucking sport devolve in the ring? Actually, this is a stupid question. I know exactly how, but it's amazing that it can happen. You know, with like, you know, there are many veterans out there. There's a lot of tape you can watch. You know, It's not hard to find wrestling in high def. It's not hard to find DVD compilations. I mean, Jesus Christ, think what these poor fuckers had to do back in the day when you had to haul around a VCR the size of a Volkswagen and these big-ass fucking tapes and watch shit like that. Now you just can go online and go to YouTube and find a bunch of matches in the blink of an eye.
You can do it on a plane.
And you fucking people cannot figure out how to run the ropes. I mean, God, it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to me to see this.
Yeah. Well, it used to be embarrassing. Now I'm just angry about it. Maybe no one's telling her. Maybe they're afraid to say something mean. Kelly, you need to work on your rope running. Is that hard? They finally plugged Hunter's new movie. The highlight of this is that in this film, Hunter plays a man named AJ.
AJ.
That was comedy. I will. The only other thing I have to say about this, this looks a hell of a lot better than The Chaperone.
Oh, great. I'm sure you'll be first in line for a ticket then.
Well, no. We had our main event, Henry and Christian versus Sheamus and John Cena. It's a fun TV match, and there's a the finish at the end was Christian going for the kill switch, but Cena shoved him off into a bro kick, and he turned around and ate an FU and got pinned. I don't know why Sheamus couldn't have been pinned. I don't know why the guy main eventing the show the next night had to be pinned.
But they wouldn't even let Sheamus beat the Great Khali, but they can't have him be pinned here. The main eventer on Super SmackDown got pinned. I just don't get it. People send me emails, too. I got emails last night, and there's just people just going, I don't get wrestling anymore. And it's like, I don't
no
either.
One does.
Why are you emailing me? I totally don't get wrestling anymore. You know, I thought as I got older, I'd start getting it more. But getting older here, I've done this for so long, and it's like I'm getting more confused with each passing day about what wrestling is. Because it doesn't make sense.
And so in the last segment here, CM Punk joined Hunter. Hunter had a message from the board of directors. Punk took some more shots at him and his wife. Hunter shrugged it off and said the match with Kevin Nash was canceled, and our Night of Champions are going to wrestle me. And they stared at each other for a while, and the show ended.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, after teasing the match, in fact, booking the Nash match in the opening segment, and then later having Kevin Nash powerbomb him during the show, here it got changed.
Yep. There you go, everybody.
Which just makes them look rinky-dink, like they don't know what they're doing.
All right, let's play a quick song here, and then we'll get into Super SmackDown, and I'll get all pissed off again. Gracie.
No one should terrify their neighborhood.
Gracie.
Just won't be undone, playing pranks on everyone.
What was that?
Something just fell.
I hope that wasn't a cat falling off the railing.
Cat invasion. They're coming into the studio.
To talk about my cats, how awesome they are.
What's new with your cats?
I got a bunch of new stuff. I'm trying to teach them words. That's my big thing. Like, they're starting to learn certain words. Like, I can say laser. And as soon as I say the word laser, Snork will just drop down on her belly and get ready to pounce because she knows I'm going to bring the laser out. She just knows that word now. They know dinner. They know garage. Whenever I say garage, they know that I'm going to let them go play around in the garage. I'm trying to teach them lap, so they know to jump on my lap, and also scratchies. That's when they know that they're going to get scratched. Me scratch them, not vice versa. So I'm teaching them words, and then Snork, the crazy one. I've never seen a cat like this. I've mentioned this a million times, but I can lay this cat on the ground on the hardwood, and I can spin the cat. I just put my hand where her armpit is, if you'd even call it such a thing on a cat, and I start spinning her in a circle, like around and around and around and around and around, like a merry-go-round, and she'll just spin and spin and spin. She won't try and stop it. She'll just spin, and then I let her go, and she stands up, and she's completely dizzy, and she just stumbles around the room, look around all over the place, and then she finally gets her bearings back, and she's ready to do it again. You know, the other cat, it's like, you know, this cat won't even lay down if, you know, I try and lay her down on a bed. She doesn't want it. She has to, I always have to be put on her feet, and then she'll decide how to lay down. you know. And Snorky, I can kind of push her a little bit on her back, and she'll just tip over and lie there, you know. And so the new one is, I don't know if all cats or if any cats even do this, but now I'm trying to teach Snork how to walk like a human. So I'll
wait, what?
Yes. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm trying it. Because, like, the other cat, you know, you can't do anything with the cat. You try and grab its paw, and it pulls the paw away, and it's all pissed off. You know, this cat just does what it wants. And if you want the cat to do something, well, too bad for you. The cat's going to do what it wants. Snork will let you just manipulate the cat in any way. You spin the cat, you throw the cat, you powerbomb the cat, I grapple with the cat, whole nine yards. So the new one is I will walk up behind her, and I'll put my hands under her armpits, and I'll lift her up so she's standing on two legs, and I'll just walk her throughout the house. Like, you know how you're trying to teach a baby how to walk? You, like, get behind it, and you hold its hands up, and you just move, and it kind of takes these goofy steps.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, I'm doing this with my fucking cat now. And the cat's doing it. It's like, it takes these steps, and, like, its little paws kind of open up, and its claws come out, but it's going like this. I'm going to teach this fucking cat how to walk on its hind legs.
All right, Brian.
Yes?
For the rest of your life. You don't ever get to complain about not having enough time again.
What are you talking about?
You have time to teach your cat to walk. You have time for anything else productive.
I'm not fucking spending hours doing this.
You spent 1 second. That is too much time.
Listen, I'll tell you why. Because once I teach this motherfucking cat how to walk, I'm going to teach it how to fucking run the ropes.
So you think?
I guarantee I could teach my fucking cat how to run the ropes better than half these motherfuckers in WWE right now.
So you think, through repetition and dedication, you're going to overcome tens of thousands of years of evolution?
Yeah! That's how confident I am.
God, you're a tool.
I'm a tool because I have confidence I can teach a fucking cat how to run the ropes.
Oh, you are.
Have you seen Kelly?
Hey, teach her!
That's beyond hope. I literally feel like I have more chance teaching my cats how to run the ropes than I do half of these douchebags in WWE. I'm so pissed off about this rope running. I am so pissed off about it.
Well, should we talk about SmackDown then?
I want to talk more about teaching my cat how to run.
What's your next step then? Suppose he masters this art of two-legged walking.
Well, I've been taking things one thing at a time. I got to get the two-legged walking thing down. She did do a funny thing the other day where, like...
So wait, step A is two-legged walking, step B, question mark, step C, run the ropes.
Well, I gotta make sure I can get her to walk on hind legs first. Once I figure that out, then I'll start worrying, because I don't even have ropes. That creates a problem. If I have to build, like, if I can teach this cat how to walk on hind legs, I'll build a fucking ring in my garage to teach it how to hit the ropes. But, the other thing this cat does, maybe this is not a weird thing for cats to do, but cat loves playing in the garage because there's bugs in there and she gets to hunt. So she's always wanting to go in the garage and no, you can't go in there. No. And if it is time to go in, I'll just, you know, she could be upstairs sleeping. I'll go, Snorky, you want to go in the garage? And she'll leap up because she knows she gets to go in the garage. So the other day I wouldn't let her in the garage and we had like a shoebox or something in the kind of right by where the garage door is. And this fucking cat now will jump up on it and she will reach her paw and try to open the doorknob to go into the garage. And she hasn't mastered it yet because she's not strong enough.
Doesn't have opposable thumbs.
That's a problem too. But I'm hoping that eventually I can teach her actually, I don't, because I don't need her going into the garage without my permission. But this cat's more talented than many of the people in WWE Developmental. I just want to get that out there. All right. Super SmackDown. Go ahead. I feel better now that I've talked about my babies.
SmackDown, as noted, opened with Michael Cole telling us Christian would be wrestling Randy Orton for the sixth time. And then, that wasn't even the stupidest thing in the opening segment. John Cena came out. Booker T described him as, direct quote here, "This guy with limited skills has conquered the WWE.
So he said. He really said that, everybody. I swear to God. With limited skills.
And that's not just burying Cena, because this guy with limited skills conquered the WWE. What does that say about the rest of the WWE, then?
Yeah.
They got beat up by a half-wit.
I don't know if he called him a half-wit.
I'm trying to think of a one-word thing for limited skills. An oaf? A clumsy oaf?
An oaf, yes. He's an oaf.
Conquered by an oaf.
And by the way, Cena hit the ropes at one point tonight, and it was also... Did you see that one?
No,
where he hit the ropes,
you.
And he had one leg, like, straight up in the air, like he was doing a fucking... one of those pistols that you do, where you put your leg out in front of you and do squats.
Dude, if I catch half these matches actually looking at the screen, I'm lucky. I'm looking around my laptop the entire time.
I'm going to burn that laptop.
Whatever.
Oh, really?
Well,
okay.
No. I say the back.
Thank you for permission.
I will stop watching the shows before I let you burn the laptop.
Why don't you watch John Cena have shitty matches so that we can do a good show? They're not that shitty. Actually, they are.
All right. Cena came out. He mentioned every wrestling TV show ever.
I was so desperate to make you watch the matches, I tried to claim that Cena's matches weren't shitty. I couldn't do it with a straight face.
He listed every TV show ever, including Thunder and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Called out Alberto. He got Ricardo Rodriguez instead. Ricardo came out and was awesome, although, frankly, I had no idea what he was talking about. Partly because he's going back and forth from English to Spanish. The crowd was giving him the what treatment. He did not care because he's cooler than Kevin Nash. Finally, Cena said, I get it. Alberto's not here. Give him a message for me. And then he punched this man. What a jerk. So, Wade Barrett came out. They jabbered back and forth for absolutely nothing for a few minutes. Then they went to commercial. 15 minutes in, nothing has happened on this show.
Nothing.
Cena and Wade had a wrestling match. Wade got the heat. Cena made his comeback. He hit his finish and won. There were no near falls. There was no back and forth. It was the simplest match ever.
I can't believe I endorsed a brand split after watching this match. Wade Barrett, rising star on SmackDown, beaten in a glorified squash here by John Cena on SmackDown. And who's staying on SmackDown? Why,
Wade.
Not John Cena.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett, in fact.
It's
way to go, Wade.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to see... Imagine if it having this, instead of having to see Christian and Norton all the time, we had to see them all the time twice a week. That's what's going to happen. It's not going to be more room to elevate guys or whatever. It's going to be the same guys burning out twice as fast. I'm against this move. Stryker interviewed Henry. He declared that he would beat Christian or Randy Orton, whoever won the cage match tonight. Said the cage match was the most dangerous match in wrestling, but it still wasn't as dangerous as wrestling him. And said the winner of the match would still be a loser. I love Mark Henry. Best thing on the show these days.
Stryker asked what it was like to be inside a cage, and Mark Henry said, that's the dumbest question ever asked.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Fake Sin Cara versus Daniel Bryan. In fact, 3 days after he was changed his tune, Cole was back to burying Daniel Bryan at every opportunity. Sin Cara's fucking light show has got to go. I don't know what they tried something new. It didn't work. Give up. It's not getting him over. No one cares. It's just harder on the eyes. There's another simple match. There were no near falls. Sin Cara just won with his combo. Afterwards, he offered a handshake and then he kicked Bryan in the head. So yes, Sin Cara, the guy who was selling $75 wrestling masks at the merchandise stand, is turning heel.
I can only presume. And again, I don't know why I bother analyzing this shit anymore, because it's all going to change 1,000 times. But I can only presume that as of last night, which has probably changed 80 times by today, the idea was to bring the real deal back as the babyface Sin Cara to face this heel Sin Cara. It's the only thing that makes sense here, because otherwise this is just mind-boggling.
Which then begs the question, where has the real Sin Cara been? Was he abducted? Has he been locked in a closet for a month?
Yeah, he was hurt when he got powerbombed on that ladder.
No, there's that.
Yeah.
Which did lead, by the way, Joey Styles tweeted, I don't have it open, so it's not word for word, but something along the lines of, I've been saying all along that Sin Cara has been a much better wrestler since coming back from the injury at Money in the Bank.
That is incorrect.
It's still funny.
You know, I the first time that Unico played the Sin Cara character, I was like, meh. You know, he's fine. Now, as the weeks go by and I see him more and more and more, this ain't working.
No.
It's so completely different. Like when the original Sin Cara came out, and he, even just doing his entrance, I mean, he carried himself like, I'm the man.
Yeah.
This guy comes out like, I'm an indie guy wearing this guy's mask.
Yes, it's
just not working.
That and the chance I had to see Sin Cara in person and actually be Sin Cara. Hoodoogie, this guy is not him.
No.
It's not close. Stryker interviewed Air Boom. His actual question, what are you guys feeling right now? Evan then responded, and his first sentence included the word replicate. This was phony.
Oh, I don't know.
Kofi said he wanted to fill the shoes of great teams like LOD, Demolition, Harlem Heat, and the Rockers. Got some work to do, bud. I wish you luck.
When I think of Demolition and the Legion of Doom, I think of Boom City. What the hell's
their
name?
That's a better name, too.
Boom.
Air Boom.
Air Boom.
That's what they call them.
Why don't they call them Sonic Boom?
That would be better.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
This was the most babyface of old school babyface promos. They're happy to be champs. They love wrestling. They love defending their titles.
They're going
to
do their best.
They love being best buds and relying on each other.
Yes, that too, yes.
They're going to do their best. This was straight out of like 1989.
That's not a bad thing, by the way.
No.
Saw clips of Sheamus telling kids not to be a bully.
That was hilarious.
Yes, yes, it was. Striker interviewed Christian.
They should have Bob Holly doing those while they're at it. Not that Sheamus is a bully, but just he played a fucking bully for two straight fucking years, and now he does a babyface turn, and a week later he's telling people not to be a bully?
Honestly, anyone on this show saying that is just absurd. This show is about beating people up.
Well, not if you're Evan Bourne. He just attempts to out-wrestle them.
I see.
He's not being a bully.
No, I guess he's not. Striker interviewed Christian. He said he would win tonight. Oksana was in the ring as the worst ring announcer since, oh, I don't know.
That guy from Yama?
The guy from Yama. Did Mike Adamly ever do ring announcing? I think he might have. We had Natalya and Beth versus Kelly and Alicia. Add corners to the list of things that Kelly can't run. Can she run at all? If you took her to like a jogging track and just do a lap, could she pull that off?
She was a gymnast.
God. Maybe she only did like the parallel bars.
I guess in gymnastics, there's not a lot of running involved. There's just, you do a hurdle, which involves almost no running.
You do like the vault.
I guess you do have to do the vault. Clearly, she never vaulted.
Maybe she just did like ribbon dancing? I don't know.
Rhythmic gymnastics?
Ribbon gymnastics.
Rhythmic.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That's the one where you wave the ribbon around.
Yes. Rhythmic gymnastics.
Why don't they call it ribbon gymnastics?
It's rhythmic gymnastics.
I'm saying
because
why?
Because you don't just use a ribbon. There's like a different apparatus.
I see.
Why would they call it ribbon gymnastics if you're going to use a hoop?
Well, that would be hoop gymnastics then.
No, just call it rhythmic gymnastics, and that covers all of the accoutrements.
I see. Alicia Fox, by the way, was a babyface in this match. Apparently, she got shoved down by Natalya on the prior SmackDown. I guess that constitutes a babyface turn. So she made a comeback here, and clearly it was her first time making a babyface comeback. And then Beth won with a bitch clamp. So there you go. And then we had the contract signing.
Why don't you put your notes down there for a second, homie, and tell me what happened here without reading it back.
The Hunter segment?
Yeah.
To prove your point?
The 18-minute segment here of talking.
All right, I'll see what best I can do. I did catch right before closing my laptop here. Hunter came out and he announced the Kevin Nash match was canceled. The crowd actually booed this announcement. That surprised me. Then he said he'd be facing Punk instead. Everyone cheered. He brought Punk out. Punk wanted to know what they were even wasting the time for, because Hunter was in charge and could do whatever he wanted. Oh, God. I'm already running out.
Man, yes, so far, so good.
They talked a lot. Punk said he wanted to bring change to WWE. Hunter said that half the people think you're right, half the people like it just the way it is. Punk said that he wanted everyone to like it all the time. He said Hunter was just like Vince. He had no idea what people wanted. Hunter said, I'm not Vince. Vince would never make it personal, but this is personal for me. I'm going to kick your skinny fat ass. How am I doing?
I got about 30%.
Did I miss anything important?
Plenty. But, yeah. This was just...
That's all from memory.
The gist of this is that they're gonna fight. And Hunter...
Yeah, there was one other important thing.
Yeah.
Because this is something that bothered me about Raw, and actually has bothered me for a few weeks, is that CM Punk is theoretically being portrayed as a babyface. I understand he's kind of the anti-hero, but every time he made fun of Hunter or made fun of Steph, he came off as a complete dick. And he explained why he was doing it in this segment. He wanted to push Hunter's buttons. He wanted to test his manhood, and Hunter did not fight back, and therefore Hunter failed this test. So they explained that, at least.
Hmm. Yeah, Hunter apparently changed the match because Punk made fun of his wife and his friend and him and his father-in-law and the fans and this and that. Again, you know, everyone's delivery was good. You know, they got into a lot of stuff. Vinny recapped the important points, but it was just too much. You know, I mean, people talk about water cooler talk. You really gonna go in front of the water cooler tomorrow and tell your buddies what happened in this segment? You can't remember half of it. You're just gonna know that they switched the match. And Hunter and Punk are going to wrestle. And then it was over. Nash came out and he beat up Punk. And then he pushed down Hunter. That's like all you're going to remember from this whole thing. So, I don't know. I mean, it's fine, I guess. I mean, there's nothing that turned me off to the match or anything like that. In fact, I liked what they did. I thought it was a decent build-up for the match. But just, you know, less is more, everybody. Less is more.
Get to the goddamn point.
Let's watch Impact and see what they do and learn from it. Let's not watch Impact and see them throw a million things at you and think, okay, well, that's how you book wrestling. You know, that's not how you book wrestling. That's a bad television show by any standard. So let's make things easy for the people.
Sheamus wrestled the Great Khali.
Oh my God!
In a career full of bad nights, the Great Khali had a particularly bad night. Just completely immobile. Can't do anything anymore. So it was probably like 5 minutes, but it seemed like a good 20. Jinder Mahal just interfered for the DQ.
Yeah.
Couldn't have Sheamus beat Khali.
No.
Unacceptable. All three men brawled horribly.
Impact. This became Impact right here. First off, we get a god-awful fucking match. Why is Great Khali even wrestling? Why is Great Khali wrestling and Jinder Mahal's on the outside? Granted, Jinder Mahal is not all that good, but he's a million times better than the Great Khali. Why would you put Sheamus in there with Great Khali? Because you know Sheamus is not going to look good. You know, why would you protect Sheamus on Raw and pin Christian and then follow it up by putting Sheamus in the ring with Great Khali for a god-awful match? So then they won't allow Sheamus to beat the Great fucking Khali. They've got to do a shitty DQ. So then after the DQ, they keep fighting. Khali throws Sheamus outside. Khali tries a chop. Sheamus moves and Khali chops the post. Sheamus makes a comeback. Jinder Mahal attacks Sheamus. Jinder Mahal throws Sheamus inside. Sheamus makes another comeback. He hits Jinder with the Celtic Cross. Why didn't you just have Sheamus beat the Great Khali and then lay out Jinder Mahal? In the fuck was the point of all of this extra bullshit?
Better yet, just to have Sheamus wrestle Jinder Mahal and beat him.
Yes.
Because if you left him laying here anyway, it would have been a better match. Yeah, this failed. And we had a main event. Christian versus Orton, same match we've seen several thousand times, except this time there was a fence. It has gotten to the point now where, like, Christian set up for the spear. I thought Randy Orton's going to leapfrog him. Christian's going to jump up on the ropes, and he will either jump into an RKO or he will pump fake it, and Randy will fake the RKO and then will do something else. That's in fact what happened. He went for the spear, Orton leapfrogged him, Christian jumped up the ropes, he teased his sunset flip, Orton teased catching him with the RKO, and then Christian turned and tried to scurry out the cage. Orton pulled him back in. And they brawled on top of the cage for a while, and they brawled on the top rope for a while, and finally Orton threw him in the cage several times, grabbed him by the head, looked to the crowd, and hit a top rope RKO to win and end this feud forever.
Or until...
Let it die!
They do it again.
No, I can't. No. Mm-hmm. This... I would rather see Orton wrestle Cena at this point.
Oh, God, no.
Think about that.
No, absolutely not. I'd never need to see that match again as long as I live on this earth. Then Henry came out as noted and beat him up.
Yes, he did. Beat him up for a long time, threw him into the cage,
hit
his finisher. There's only so much you can do with this type of angle in a PG show. You can have him hit a bunch of wrestling moves that we see all the time anyway.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the Super SmackDown.
I was like, even on Saturday and Sunday, I was like, you know, I'm kind of excited for Super SmackDown. You know, they want to do a big show. They want to do a big rating. You know, I was thinking about, man, you know, maybe it would be better to put SmackDown on Tuesday nights. And you can just have Monday leading to Tuesday. And you don't have to worry about the Friday show that you can't even watch half the time because shit happens on the weekends. It's better for everybody involved. Then I watch this show and it's like, well, you know, it's preposterous to think that whatever happens Monday is going to lead to Tuesday. That ain't going to happen. They had a full lineup Monday night, and it was all changed by Tuesday afternoon. So it's not like one's going to lead into another. And just don't know.
I would just make SmackDown internet only and stop watching it.
I'm just glad I got a week until I got to watch WWE again. Although
that's
I got to watch Impact in the middle of it. I need a break from WWE right now.
Yeah, honestly, Impact...
really frustrated me the last couple of days. It was not that long ago that I was just like, I was so excited about WWE.
It was two pay-per-views ago.
I was just, even the build to SummerSlam and the SummerSlam stuff, I knew it wasn't going to do all that great a number, but, you know, I wasn't like really down on like the product as a whole. I was just like, the build for this is not that great. But this is just, I don't know. Just between the Sin Cara thing and this Kevin Nash thing, I'm just, maybe if I were just a fan and I had no idea what was going on, it wouldn't bother me as much. But having to follow all this and everything changes every day, it's just driving me nuts.
No, because I have not read the latest Observer. I did not listen to last night's show. I don't know the background between the Kevin Nash thing, and I don't care. It's a convoluted feud with three guys who Punk doesn't like either one of them. We're not sure if Hunter and Nash are friends or not. We're not sure who the babyface is. We're not sure who the heel is. They're just three guys who don't get along. And by the way, I was thinking about this earlier today, too. The finish of SummerSlam was Hunter as a special ref not seeing John Cena's foot on the ropes and counting the pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck ever happened to that?
Nothing.
Cena did not care. He did not give a shit. He's not mad at Hunter a bit. No. There's been no follow-up on that.
No. I'm sure they had an idea and they changed their minds.
They must have. God.
It's very annoying.
When does ROH start? I'm ready for that.
End of September. It's going to be on the website.
Good.
Oh my.
Wow.
I didn't need to hear about the beer bottle there. All right, everybody. It's time for shout outs. It is a free show today. What a free show you got today. Wow. You can hear this every Thursday when we review Impact. Only worse, if that's even possible. I'm going to do the shout outs here, everybody. And then we're going to get on our merry way. This is, of course, a subscription-only website. If you're listening to this show and you only get one show a week, you're missing out, homies. You could be listening to this show every single day. Well, not this particular show, but we do shows every single day. Not only do we shows every single day, but we do a million different shows. We've got this show, obviously, Wrestling Observer Radio, which you hear every other Monday, Figure Four Daily, which I do almost daily, not quite daily, but almost daily, Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, Japan, hockey, some mixed martial arts here and there, Five Star Radio, all mixed martial arts. Mike doesn't give a shit about pro wrestling, so if you're a big MMA fan, that's a show for you, as well as Tough Talk with Oliver Kopp and Mike Sawyer, also an all-MMA show with interviews as well. Some of the big stars in mixed martial arts. Dr. Keith Show, Independent Pro Wrestling. If you're a fan of Independent Pro Wrestling and Japanese Pro Wrestling and all this stuff that we don't normally talk about on this show, Alan's show is the show for you. Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and Les Thatcher covering all of the wrestling weekly, as well as the Dragon King show. Carl Stern talks the history of wrestling and a lot of great stuff. He's got he's done a 2-part deal talking the history of wrestling from the Civil War, and he's up to Gotch and Hackenschmidt now.
Wow.
So if you want to know what the hell's going on in the history of wrestling, that's the place to go. And After Dark, which covers, well, nothing we talk about on any of the shows. It has nothing to do with wrestling. We interview guys about Bigfoot, for Christ's sake. That show returns this Friday after about a 4-month hiatus. It is back coming up this Friday. You can't hear any of these shows unless you sign up. If you sign up, you not only get all these new shows, we do 15 to 20 brand new shows a week. Not only do you get all of the new shows, but you get every show we've ever done. Every show we have ever done dating back to 2005. So if you add up all those shows, there's over 3,000 radio shows in our archives, which is probably like 5,000 hours worth of audio. So if you sign up today for $10.99 and you just start immediately downloading and listening, you'll never listen to all the shows. You'll never get all of them. It's impossible to do that in 1 month. So sign up, try it for a month, give it a shot, and if you like it, sign up, and if you don't like it, you're done forever. We've also got Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. Brand new newsletters every week. We got back issues of the Observer up every week. We got so much stuff. Just go to the website and start clicking on stuff. And there's a bunch of stuff you click on and you just can't get access to it because it's members only stuff. Think about all that stuff. $10.99, sign up one time. That's lunch at Panera, for Christ's sake. Sign up, try all this stuff for a month. Especially, I've said it many times, if you like this show or the Wrestling Observer Radio we do every week. If you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription. So try it out. And if you don't love it, well, you can email me and we'll figure something out. Anyway, if you sign up, you get a free shout out, and I'm going to read some of those today. And this will give you an idea of what you are missing if you are not, in fact, signed up for the website. So here we go. This is from, let's see if I've read this one here before. I don't think I have. This is, this was the retirement of Fuzz Hardman. I have read that one. Let's try this one here. All right, this is from Joey. Howdy, fellas. I've been a subscriber for about 1 year and 8 months, which actually is how long I dated her, as a trivia note. Never actually used my shout-out. Here it is. Motherfuckers. Huge shout-outs to Alvarez and Ver High for a spectacular job on this show, particularly Vinny's sense of humor, which very much matches mine.
Uh-oh.
Random shout-outs go to Hair, Grapes, Scrambled Eggs, Taco Bell.
Hopefully not all at the same time.
People with Lungs, a Bratwurst, and of course, PW247Radio.com. The only 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week live wrestling audio online radio station website. Check us out at PW247Radio.com with our host of shows all week long discussing WWE, TNA, Indies, a little MMA, and all of your mock combat sporting needs. Fuck yous go to my former fiance's new fiance, my left knee, Jumbo Shrimp. Make up your fucking minds, he says. Bowser from Super Mario Brothers, Casey Anthony, Grapefruit, and morons who fuck wolves. Follow me on Twitter at Joey Image. And don't forget to check out joeyimage.com, home of myself, your favorite indie worker, and of course, PW247radio.com. Joey Image!
Wow.
That's right.
Didn't we used to have a word limit on these?
That was less than 2,000 words.
It was well written for the 1,500 words it was. But yes. Well, thank you for admiring my sense of humor, Joey. I hope it gets you far in life.
This fella here says his name is Kimoffin, but in the from, I won't read his last name, but it says his first name is Bam.
Who are you suggesting here?
Brian, renewed my account, got a favor to ask. My girlfriend, Jen, really hates your open on the show, so if you could dedicate one to her, that would really make my day. Thanks, dude, really enjoying the site. How's it going, Jen?
Oh, I thought he meant she hated Lightning Hopkins.
No, she hates, how's it going, everybody?
Hmm.
How's it going, Jen? If I lived in that town, I'd go over and knock on the door and go, how's it going, Jen? That'd make her day. Alrighty. What do we got here?
Another shout out.
I know that, jackass.
Just trying to be helpful.
Christopher here. What's up, Brian and Vinny? Been a member for about 2 years now. Finally cashing in my shout out. He actually wrote he's chasing in his shout out. But I'll presume that his iPhone switched the word around. Great stuff you guys do on the show. Awesome reviewing you guys do. To you freeloaders, give it up already. It's only $10.99, and damn if you're not wasting it somewhere else anyway, including those TNA pay-per-views. Join the Empire already. Join one of the best wrestling communities on the net. Wanted to throw a few shout-outs to some other wrestling-related websites. Lance Storm's new ebook is awesome. Give it a read. It is available. Amazon.com. Lance has done an ebook. We'll talk to him about that on Thursday's show. He's going to be on the air. I'm going to try and read as much of it as I can by then. But check it out on Amazon.com. Lance Storm's new ebook. Tons of people getting it and a lot of good reviews. So check it out. PWPonderings.com, who do some great reviews and podcasts about everything indie wrestling related. Chikara101.com. If you're a fan of Chikara, why aren't you on there yet? And thanks, Brian and Vinny, for all the enjoyment and entertainment you have provided me and many others over the years. That is from Janice. So I was wrong. It's not from Christopher. It's from Janice. Janice, thank you very much.
There's a lot of nice words there.
And how's it going, Janice?
Just assuming now everyone wants to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing shout-outs to everybody. All right. This is from... that's not what I want. All right.
What was that?
I for some reason, when I searched for my shout-outs, I came up with Michael Tarver interview recap.
Okay, move on. I thought perhaps you had found something interesting, but I was wrong.
Something about a shout-out for... Oh, I see. Okay. All right. This is from... Oh, somebody asking me how to send in a shout out. All right, let's try one more. Brian, I'm a huge fan of the site. Just wanted to let you know something you may address on the Granny Brian and Vinny show tonight. I hate random people I haven't talked to in forever wishing me a happy birthday on Facebook and filling my inbox with their randomness. But as I sorted through the emails, I saw that Granny wished me a happy birthday by name. I am part of her gang, but never really go on Facebook yet. Her birthday wishes made my day today. I just wanted to thank her. That is from Jonathan. Granny is a great woman.
That's a very nice shout out there.
She's a great woman. All righty. One last one here. This is from The Jawas. He says, Brian, I thought I'd drop you a line. I'm not currently a subscriber, but have been here and there. Last Friday, my wife and I had our first child, a healthy boy. We're still getting used to each other and getting a routine down, but I believe we have been blessed. And of course, for those of you that are new here, if you successfully procreate and produce an infant, you get a free shout out here on this show. As well as if you get married, we'll give you one as well. So, anyway, that's the community we have here at figure4online.com. All right, everybody, we're out of here. I feel better after reading the shout-outs now that I've got some vitriol out of my system. So, tomorrow, Todd Martin's going to be on the show. It's going to be awesome. The Todd Squad will be in full effect listening to that one. And
that turned into use more often.
The Todd Squad?
Yes.
That's right. Todd Squad is going to listen tomorrow while we do Todd's Odds. It's going to be great. And then later on in the evening, Dave Meltzer is going to be on the show. A lot of stuff coming up. Lance Storm on Thursday. After Dark returns on Friday. Don't miss out on this stuff, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.